were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Great. Well, thank you, Chloe. It is a privilege to speak to you this morning from God's Word. Today, as John mentioned, we're continuing our series in worshiping Christ through carols. Each week we've been looking at a different Christmas carol and the passage of scripture it's written from. And so today we come to the carol, "While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks," from Luke chapter 2. This morning we'll pay special attention to the first part of that scripture reading, so verses 8 to 14, although it is good to read the whole passage for the context. So while shepherds watched their flocks, as we just sang, I think beautifully describes maybe the most famous Christmas passage of all the Bible, the surprising encounter between the ordinary, lowly shepherds and the angel of the Lord. Well, in my home country of the United States, we've had a year filled with major news stories. There's been a contentious election, a global pandemic, and many other very intense stories. And it's made Americans have a complicated relationship with the news media. So a recent study from Pew Research Center found that over 50% of Americans have a general posture of distrust towards the news that they hear. They may feel that news outlets are either biased or they're spreading misinformation. Perhaps they cite careless reporting, or in some cases, they see them even to be misleading to the public. I think that can be the case for us here as well. We know that news media has a certain agenda. They have angles that they want to take on certain events. And as a result, many of us have a hard time trusting everything we hear from the news. Even if there's an article of good news, we tread with caution. We're unsure if actually what we read is the truth, and if it's even for our good. Well, today in our passage, we're confronted with good news from a much different source. This source, unlike the media, does not have a hidden agenda. There's no selfish motivation here. The news that this angel announces, that there's a baby that's been born in a manger, this news is truly good. It truly gives great joy, and it is the greatest, most mind-shattering, soul-nourishing news that the world has ever heard. That is the claim of Christianity at Christmas. We stake our lives on this news. And so this morning, I want to explore that claim a bit to help us see some of the truth in it. So to do that, we'll ask the question, which you'll see in your handout if you've got it open there. We'll ask the question, what makes the good news of Christmas actually good? So if you're here this morning and you wouldn't identify yourself as a Christian, we're really glad that you're here with us. You're always welcome here. Perhaps you're unsure, though, as to what Christians actually believe at Christmas. Or perhaps you know, but frankly, you're just not that convinced that the good news is actually that good or trustworthy. And certainly not news that you'd stake your life on. Well, my aim for you this morning is that you'd see just a little bit of how wonderful this news of Jesus' birth really is. And not just as interesting information, but as personal truth. That this baby, Jesus, came for you. And he wants a response from you. For those of us who are Christians, my aim is that through this familiar story, Jesus would become even more beautiful, even more precious to you this Christmas, that you might live this Christmas with even greater joy, knowing what our God did for you this Christmas. So, the first reason why the good news is so good is, number one, because of who Jesus is. So, the opening of our passage, we get the scene set for us there in verse 8. There's shepherds living out in this field nearby, keeping watch over their flock. Nearby, this suggests that there's something that's gone on before this story. Just before this happens, in verse 7, Luke tells us that Mary had a baby. She had her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger. And so Luke is panning us away from this scene of this baby in a stable, and now to this field of ordinary shepherds. Seems like a strange place to go, but something extraordinary is going to happen. So, verse 9, the shepherds were there minding their own business when the angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." What is this good news? Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. So we can see kind of what the angel's saying here. There's this baby. He's going to be a Savior. He's going to cause great joy for all people. Why? Because he is the Messiah, the Lord. Messiah is a Hebrew word. The meaning is like anointed one or chosen one. In the Old Testament, God's prophets often predicted for years and years that a deliverer would come, that God would choose someone to come and save God's people from their enemies, from their suffering, and from their own sin and wrong that they've done against the Lord. And so after much waiting and waiting and hoping and longing, this angel's announcement is truly shocking for these shepherds. Verse 11, today the Messiah is here. Today your waiting and your longing for a deliverer is over. God has kept his promise and the celebration can begin. But Jesus is not just the Messiah. He's not just God's chosen human to come to the world. He's far more than that. The angel also gives him the title, the Lord. So you look at verse 9, we've already seen this word, the Lord, being used in our passage. So verse 9 says it was the angel of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. Luke uses this word Lord to mean the God of Israel, the God who made it all, the God of the heavens and the earth. And so what's being said for us is that the same Lord who has now sent angels down to earth from heaven, the same Lord whose glory just burst through and terrified these shepherds in this field, this Lord is now a baby. This Lord is lying in a feeding trough for animals right over there in Bethlehem. This baby is actually the creator of the universe come down to earth. And this is unreal. So friends, the claim of Christmas is not that a great man was born, that a wise teacher was born, but that the Lord of the entire universe, heaven and earth, the one who created every single one of us, who keeps our breath going, sustains us even today, that Lord was made a baby on that day. This is shocking. This is strange. Why in the world would the God who created everything, who has power over everything, set that aside to become a baby? I think we should feel some of the scandal of this. God's coming to this world of sickness and pain and hardship. Why would he do this? It brings us to our second point. Why is the good news so good too? Because of why Jesus came. So if we back up there to verse 9, we see that the angel of the Lord appears and glory shone all around them. Now this glory, in some sense, probably looked like a blinding light. It looks like the shepherds actually see something physical happen here. But also, this glory is the glory of God. God himself is breaking through to earth to reveal himself to these shepherds. And how do the shepherds respond? I think the carol we just sung puts it well. Verse 2 says, "Fear not," said he, "for mighty dread had seized their troubled mind." Mighty dread had seized these shepherds' minds. Imagine you're in the stillness of night and the glory of God breaks through. What is going on? I think we would have felt exactly the same. I think it's an interesting question to ask, what happens elsewhere in Scripture when the glory of God breaks through to humans? I think an obvious one we could go to is Isaiah, who sees a vision of the Lord's throne room in Isaiah chapter 6. And what does he say with that encounter? Here's Isaiah verse 5. "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Woe is me. To see him, the God of the universe, who's absolutely holy and perfect, reveals our unholiness and our imperfection. To see him who is so transcendent above us, who's pure, reveals our guilt and our lowliness. That's what we see happen. So it's no surprise here to hear that the shepherds were terrified by what they saw. But the angel responds with a surprising command. Don't be afraid. Guys, there's no need to fear. Why is there no need to fear? Because I bring you good news that's going to cause great joy for all the people. There's going to be this great news and great joy that's going to come. And why? Why can there be joy? There's a Savior, and he's Christ the Lord. Don't be afraid. A Savior has come. There's no need to flee. This God is not here to condemn you. This news is not here to shame you. God has sent someone to free you, someone to cleanse you, someone to bring life to you. Jesus' role as Savior is reiterated throughout the Bible. If we look at Matthew's gospel and Matthew's account of Jesus' birth, he says this in Matthew chapter 1, 20, 21. and she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And so this is what Jesus came to do. This is God's reason for sending him as a baby. This is the mission. God wants to save sinners from their sins. This is great news for us because whether you see it or not, sin is our greatest problem. Our sin needs to be dealt with. One pastor and author, Ray Ortland, puts it really well in his little book. This is what he says. God is extremely relevant. God sent us exactly what we needed most, someone to save us from ourselves and our sin. We need someone to help us out of our own mess. And God, in his compassion, has done just that. So God didn't send a financial advisor. He didn't send a wise politician. He didn't send a philosopher or even a moral teacher, for none of these could fix us. No, he sent a savior. I think hearing that, some of us might be skeptical about the fact that we actually need saving. Their attitude can easily be one of, we're more than capable of making ourselves right, of looking inward and finding our true selves. We're capable of living happy and complete lives on our own. Thanks very much. Maybe you're here this morning and you've heard that Jesus came to save, and quite frankly, this sounds a bit ridiculous to you. If this is you this morning, that I can understand. I think I was there at one point as well. But you need to hear the reality of our situation. The reality is that as humans, we are totally lost. All of us have rejected God in some way and his rightful rule as creator and sustainer of our lives. And instead, we've put ourselves in God's place as our own rulers instead of the one who made us. This idea, this is what the Bible calls sin. Later in Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it says that before salvation, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. And the idea here is that dead people, of course, cannot do anything to make themselves alive again. We need someone to save us. And the punishment for sin against the infinitely holy God is eternal separation from him. And the only one who could save us from this fate is God himself. And so God took on human flesh. He lived among us. God willingly sacrificed his son for us, allowing Jesus to be crucified and killed on a cross. Jesus' death was the perfect and complete payment for our sin. He took the consequences that we deserved and then rose from the dead, and showing that the payment for our sin was complete and acceptable to God. So as a result of this, friends, there is hope for a ruined people like me and like you. There's hope of pardon. There's hope of peace within and peace with God. There's hope of eternity with him. This is the most wonderful news the world has ever heard or will ever hear. But why? Why would Jesus come to do this? What motivated him? 1 John chapter 4, 9-10 gives us our answer. It says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Jesus became human because of God's love. Jesus came as a savior, not as a judge. Jesus didn't come as someone to squash you, not someone to shame you, not someone to tell you how sinful and wrong you are, but someone who loves you, who cares for you, and has your best interest at heart. Perhaps you've been carrying around a heavy weight in your life. There's a burden that seems heavy for you to carry. Perhaps you can't seem to move on from something in your past or shake the feeling that no matter what good you do, there's an emptiness or there's a guilt inside that won't go away. Friends, Jesus Christ was born for you. What incredible love that God would send his son to a broken and undeserving people like us. Praise God for his great love. Well, the third reason the good news is so good is because of who Jesus came for. We can't help but notice the strange choice of place and people to announce this great news. Who did God choose to send his Savior to? Who were the first to participate? Lowly, humble, dirty, poor sheep keepers. I think some of the shock value of this is lost on those of us who are familiar with the Christmas story and seeing the shepherd's role in it. But if you think of people in that society who were the lowest, the most despised, most marginalized, these were the shepherds. If you want to equate it with someone from our own society, just think of those people who are most dismissed, who have the least amount of voice or say in our culture. That is who God came to first. Why? Why did God choose these people to deliver this news? I think one commentator says it quite well. You can read it up on the screen with me. He says, "I think God wants to make crystal clear what kind of people this good news comes to. Not the rich and powerful, those who have no sense of their need. That's not the way God works in Scripture. He does not reveal his ways to the Caesars of the world. He is a God who sends the message to shepherds." God is pleased with the lowly and the humble, those who see their need of a Savior. People like the shepherds who immediately receive this news with joy and gladness. And this attention to the lowly and the humble of the world would continue through Jesus' entire ministry. So in Mark chapter 2, when Jesus is sharing the news with others, he meets the Pharisees and he says this in verse 16. "When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, 'Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?' On hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" Friends, I think some of us won't see our need for a Savior until we're humbled, we're brought low, till we see the depth of the darkness in our own hearts. I think it's the humble and accurate view of ourselves that allows us to be open to Jesus and to his news. So will you bring yourself low to receive him like the shepherds received him? I think also how encouraging is this for those of us who feel small, who feel unnoticed or weak, weary, broken, or outcast. Christ came for people like you. Christ came to seek and save you. Come to him. He promises to give you rest to all those who are weak and weary. Well, finally, this news is so good, point four, because of what Jesus brings. I think there's a lot we could say about what Jesus brings to his people, but the one we'll focus on that the passage here gives us is peace. Jesus brings peace. In our carol, the final verse says this: "All glory be to God on high, and to the earth be peace. To those on whom his favor rests, goodwill shall never cease." God gives peace to the earth through this baby. Want to notice, though, the difference here between the good news that goes out in verse 10 and the peace here in verse 14. So in verse 10, if you look at the verse, it says, "The good news of great joy is for all the people." The good news is to be shared with all. All receive it. But the peace is for those on whom his favor rests. The ESV translation puts it this way: peace among those with whom God is pleased. So there's a qualifier here. And so I think the important question for us then is, who is God pleased with? Another way to ask that would be, how will God be pleased with you today? How would you answer that question? Perhaps you feel this morning that actually God could never be pleased with you. You've done too much that you're ashamed of. You worry, maybe, that you could never do enough for God to be pleased with you. How could God be pleased with me? But friends, that's what makes the good news so good. On your own, you can do nothing to please God. No amount of good works or changing your behavior will change a thing. The only thing you can do is exactly what we see the shepherds do in our passage: receive this child. Receive Jesus as the Messiah and as your Lord. Receive him as the Savior. Trust in his sacrifice for you, and God will be pleased with you to the same degree that he's pleased with his own Son, Jesus. So if that is true, we can come to him turning away from our self-motivated lives and towards him, saying, "Lord, I trust you. I want to follow you. Help me do that." No matter who you are or what you've done, you can be confident that if you do that, God can be pleased with you today. He will plant his peace in you now and give you this peace eternally, living with him forever. And this is good news of great joy. So why is the good news of Christmas actually good? Well, because this baby is God come to earth. Because this baby came to save us from our sin. Because this baby came for the humble and the lowly. Because this baby brings eternal peace where there was none before. So the concluding question then is, what will we do with this news? How will we respond? For those of us who aren't actively believing and trusting in Jesus for salvation, maybe you need to be like the shepherds. Shepherds in verse 15 says this: "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, that the Lord told us about.'" So similar to them, you've heard the good news proclaimed to you this morning, like what's happening right now. And now it's on you to go and see. Go and see if this is true. Say, "God, is this real? Show me." Go and see for yourself. Maybe ask a friend who brought you or one of the pastors. Ask questions. We have a course running, as John previously mentioned, called Christianity Explored. It'll start in the new year. This course is ideal for those who want to explore the Christian faith or ask questions about who Jesus is and what this means for me in a safe environment. This would be a great way to be like the shepherds and go and see for yourself. Ask God that he would show you if this is really true. And for those of us who are trusting in Christ, perhaps we too should be like the shepherds there in verse 17, where they hear the news and are filled with joy and go spreading it to all that they see. And then they end up in verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. May that be true of us this Christmas. Praise our Father. Praise him for his incredible love. Glory be to God in the highest heaven. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the good news of Jesus. Thank you for sending a Savior. Lord, we confess that you becoming a baby and condescending so low out of your compassion for people like us, it's unfathomable. It doesn't make any sense. And yet your love is so great and your glory so wonderful that you did exactly that. So we ask for your help. We ask that Jesus would become even more beautiful and precious to us this Christmas. We ask for your help for those of us who need to ask questions and make a response to you. We pray that we'd spend our Christmas spreading the news and praising you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.